And open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. This is the time in our service where we take communion together. It's a time where we can remember our Savior, Jesus Christ, and His work on the cross to save us from our sins. And to help us with this, follow along as I read Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So I just want to look at one thing in this passage, and it's this idea of being above reproach. First, let's define what this means. And then second, how do you determine it? And then third, let's come back to the passage. So first, what does it mean to be above reproach? Reproach is that word of blame or guilt against you for any kind of sin in your life that someone could approach you for. If reproach is here, then being above reproach or beyond reproach means that you are here, somewhere not near reproach, where it can't get you. But now let's think about this a little bit more. How do you determine whether somebody is above reproach? We should be able to determine this, as it's a qualification for elders in Titus 1:6. So if I were to bring someone before you that you did not know at all, and I asked you, is this person above reproach? You wouldn't be able to answer, because you have to know someone before determining whether they're above reproach. And in fact, the more you know them, the more you can determine that. So let me ask, are you above reproach? What if, again, to determine whether you were above reproach, someone were to follow you around and be with you all day, sit next to you when you're at work, sit next to you when you listen to the radio, when you went to school, when you watch television, when you talk to your kids, if they were right next to you observing what you're doing? And what if further, to determine this, every thought in your mind from birth until now was recorded and made into a video presentation and shown for everyone to see? When everyone was done watching that presentation of your mind and what you've done, what you thought this morning, what you thought last week, would they look at you and think that you were above reproach? If someone could see every single thing that you do and did and every thought and every intention of your heart, would you be above reproach before that person? Now come back to this passage and let me read verse 22 again. He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. Imagine this scene. Imagine standing before the living God who does see everything that you do and everything that you think and knows the intentions of your heart. And imagine Him looking at you and saying, I see no reproach in you. I find no sin. How is this possible? We see our own hearts, and God sees them even more. So how is it that we can stand before the holy God and be above reproach? Can you get to this point by good works? No. No amount of good works will ever take away the reproach from one bad work. And you and I have done many bad works. Yet this passage says that we will be presented above reproach, which is right next to, in verse 22, blameless. And if that's not clear enough, that's right next to holy. So in order for you or I to stand before the living God above reproach, something must happen. Our reproaches must go somewhere. Your sin and my sin must be washed clean. All our guilt must be gone forever. How does this happen? The first part of the verse tells us, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. This is the cross of Jesus Christ. On that body of flesh, which the eternal Son of God took, was placed the reproach of every person who would believe, including yours and mine. This is the only way that you or I will ever be able to stand before a holy God who sees every day of our sinful lives and be above reproach. Take this time, believer, and examine your heart. You may know of things that would bring reproach on you. Maybe you have sin that you need to repent from. If you have trusted in Christ and his work on the cross to reconcile you to God, then remember the hope of the gospel. Who are you before God right now? Holy, blameless, above reproach. This is the work of the cross which we remember. So take this time to confess any sin before God and not shift from the hope of the gospel. And if you are unable to repent from that sin, just let the bread and juice pass you by and talk with someone here before you leave. And if you are here this morning, and by your own admission, you have never trusted in Christ, then we're glad that you're here. But just let the bread and juice pass you by. This is a time for believers. And this isn't to embarrass you, but to be obedient to God's word. But let me just ask you to think about this passage. How are you going to be above reproach before God? How are you going to be holy before God? How are you going to be blameless? How can you be? The cross of Christ is the only way. Put your faith in the work of Christ on the cross and turn from your sins right now and take communion with us. So as the men come forward, take this time to examine your hearts. Remember our Savior and his work to make us above reproach before the living God, and take communion on your own.